My guest at this time is Republican Congressman Tim Huelskamp. He represents the 1st Congressional District in the state of Kansas, and he is currently a member of the House Budget Committee, but recently learned that he will not be on that panel as of the new Congress that convenes in January. That's because Huelskamp was one of four Republicans, two on the Budget Committee, two on the Financial Services Committee, to be informed in a variety of different ways that they will not be returning as a result of a perceived lack of party loyalty. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, pleasure to join you, Greg, and love to visit about this topic.
And let's start with separating a little bit of the fact from fiction. Some of the things we've read says that this ruling not only came down, but was made public before you and the other three members even knew about it. Is that accurate?
Well, actually, the way they have done these things in Washington, they go behind closed doors, which always makes me nervous because I'm usually not behind those closed doors, and it's not obviously not transparent. But I received a phone call from one of those, was told to call my representative on this committee and said, hey, I want to let you know we just stripped you of the Budget Committee and the Agriculture Committee. And we've had 100 years of someone from Kansas being on the Ag Committee. It's the number one district. I'm a farmer myself. And so quite surprised, quite disappointed. But leadership has doubled down on that. The speaker mentioned yesterday that others might be in jeopardy as well. And so I think this is an attempt by leadership to start warning people, trying to control people. But without a doubt, I can speak for every one of my colleagues that was removed. I mean, this is our voting card. I'm holding my voting card in my hand, and I don't turn that over to any member of leadership, any other member of Congress. It's mine, and I have a sacred bond with 700,000 constituents, but we are clearly being punished by the way we use this card. And that's a real disappointment. We were promised a different type of Republican leadership 2 years ago, and it's descended in the same command and control that we've seen far too often in Washington.
We've heard that you and the other three were not voting enough with the leadership. We've heard that it's a difference in ideology. The incoming chairman of the Republican Study Committee, Congressman Scalise, says, no, it's probably a little bit more about personality. What reason were you told, and what reason do you think is real?
I was given no reason, none whatsoever, and was told I can't tell you what the reason was, but it's just pure crass politics. It's petty and vindictive. I've been an active member of both the Budget and Ag Committees. I have a long background on both of those as a fifth-generation farmer with a Ph.D. in Ag Policy. I've worked on the Farm Bill, just been working on a Farm Bill. So clearly the removal was seen as a punishment. And then when the leadership says yesterday, Greg, that others may be at risk, it's clearly meant as a warning. You know, if four votes, you got 240 votes, and currently in the Republican House, you got a good, strong majority. Three or four votes does not make a difference, but you can use those three or four folks to warn them and then the remainder of the conference. But I tell you, I'm not going to give up my voting card. It's not a done deal. The entire conference has to approve these appointments in January. And frankly, the steering committee that makes these decisions, Mr. Scalise is on there, they had a litmus test. They had a list of key votes they used to make their decision. And we are asking them to release that vote, those list of votes to the public and to the membership. So far, they refuse to do that. They're apparently not courageous enough to indicate exactly how that made that decision. And actually, I haven't seen a member of leadership that actually indicated what the reasons were, and they haven't told me either.
Is this about making sure that if Boehner is able to strike a deal on the fiscal cliff, that this is a message to all the members of the conference that if there is a deal, you're expected to vote for this?
I think that is the message, indeed, and I think part of that message is, as well, that the deal that the speaker intends to negotiate and finally present to Republicans is going to be one that's likely to violate the principle of not raising taxes. I think it's connected on Friday. I released a video. I meant it on YouTube. You could find that where I reiterated my pledge to not raise taxes, and less than a business day later is when I got the phone call that you're off of the Budget Committee. But 238 members of the House, including myself, said, you know, raising taxes is not what we're going to do. We pledged to our constituents, Greg, and so I fear that's the real issue here, that they want Republicans to be ready to jump off into a tax increase, and which basically I think will destroy any economic recovery we currently have.
What's been the impact of this within the conference? Obviously, you and Congressman Amash and Schweikert and Jones are clearly unhappy about this, but what type of reaction have you gotten from the other colleagues who may or may not be part of those others that the speaker referred to.
I've had a lot of support and from folks, and not just conservatives, just folks come up to me of both parties, said that's not right. This is not the way. I mean, it's the way we should run an institution. It's not the way you'd run a business, and you can't run your family that way. But to go behind closed doors and selectively identify folks that you can punish, you know, and I have an identical voting record to a lot of other folks, but to pick out three freshmen, it's clearly meant to set an example. But I tell you, at home, folks are furious, Greg, and this is exactly what they've come to expect out of Washington of either party, that it's going to be crass politics, and if you're a man of principle, a man or woman of principle, and you want to vote the way you tell your people, this is exactly what I told them I would do, and this is what I told leadership how I would vote, same way for Mr. Amash and Mr. Swikert. And then to be knocked down and be punished for doing what you said you'd do. And I think we need a lot more of that in Washington, not to punish those who actually said what they would do, whether you're Democrat, Republican, liberal, or conservative. Let's just have a little more integrity. Just follow through on that, and we're going to agree or disagree. But the idea that Republican leaders are going to punish conservatives because of the conservative votes, it's because of the votes, it's and everything else is, I believe, just a smokescreen of trying to reach an end that will, I think, violate a clear Republican principle.
The actual decision was made by this steering committee. Is there any doubt in your mind that they were doing the bidding of the speaker and other members of the leadership?
We're not for sure, and we hear varying stories. And again, if the speaker and the majority leader and the whip, who are the three top leaders, again, Greg, they have not even talked to me. Been on the floor. I've seen them on the floor, and they haven't had the wherewithal to come over and say, hey, this is why I voted the way I did. And actually, one of the leaders claimed not to be in the room when the decision was made, and so it's hard to believe. And the way we do things, I come from Kansas, rural America, and your word is your bond. You're looking straight in the eye if you disagree with someone, but in Washington, far too often, the deals are made behind closed doors. They won't tell you. It's all innuendo. You'll just come clean, just release the list of votes that apparently the whip had put together, Mr. Kevin McCarthy, and share that with the public and give us a chance. And that's what my colleagues are saying now about that. They're upset about that. And this is really splitting the Republican Party, which I'm certain was not the intention of leadership. But I think that's the end result of that. And actually, the Democrats are probably pretty excited to see what the speaker's doing to conservatives, not just because they might disagree with us on principle, but because of that, just tears apart a Republican Party that was always already splintered dramatically with the horrible election losses of on November 6th.
A couple minutes left with Kansas Republican Congressman Tim Huelskamp removed from his seat on both the House Budget and House Agriculture Committees over votes that the leadership did not think was consistent enough with their wishes for his votes to be. How much contact, sir, have you had with the other three that were removed from these committees? And is there any plan to somehow protest, demonstrate in a more formal way this decision?
We have been in contact. I just visited with one of them today to see what they're hearing. A tremendous outpouring of constituent support all across the board. And, what American out there wants their congressman to go to Washington and say, hey, I'm going to vote exactly how they tell me to do so? I see a number of our colleagues have been meeting separate without us and putting together strategies because they understand. They understand, number one, that it's wrong. Number two, that they might be next. And so we'll see how many folks are worried about their own committee assignments versus how many are willing to stand up and say, hey, it's not right to punish it. This is a representative institution. So we're seeing good, strong support. At the end of the day, if the leadership maintains this position, I think it'll make them very difficult to actually operate the Congress in the next 2 years, which when we're facing a $16.3 trillion debt, overspending $1 trillion a year, our debt ceiling is about ready to blow through that, and our downgrade of our debt outlook and rating, these are major issues. And then you have this petty politics going on in Washington. Enough of this. Let's focus on real solutions.
Did you see glimpses of this coming in previous debates, whether it's the debt ceiling last summer that I know a lot of conservatives didn't like the final product, and some of these other things were the same type of tactics and expectations articulated then?
There was expectation, and that's what you have a whip team for, where they come around, they are usually wanting your opinion, they want to tell you how to vote, and that's fine. It's an adult, discussion. Well, I can vote for it or I don't like it, and going back and forth. And not once did they say, hey, if you don't vote for this, we're going to kick you off a committee. Now, if they had done that, my response would have been the same. You know, this is my voting card. It's 700,000 people in Kansas, not yours. But they never did that. No warning. I don't think any of at least the three freshmen that I've talked directly to about it, no notice whatsoever in advance. But just coming in, and let's take a few scalps and use those as a warning to the other 236 Republicans.
A couple quick questions before we let you go. First of all, what committee assignments do you have in the next Congress?
We do not know. That steering committee, Congress didn't have enough to do this week. They sent us home after only a day and a half and just a few minor votes. Here we are facing this cataclysmic event and a debt ceiling shortly in the new year, and we only voted a little bit, but apparently this steering committee's not meeting again until next week, and we're still pushing hard to get back on those committees, and we're not going to take no for an answer. But sometimes in the past, you've been punished by very minor committees, or I've heard stories of 20 or 30 years ago where they'd completely take your committees away from you when you had one-party control for a long time. But I think that would be a dangerous thing for leadership to do, given there's tremendous response and outrage amongst conservative groups in particular and constituents. And my understanding, the speaker's phone lines were locked up yesterday with people calling in to complain about such high-handed tactics. So it's not over yet. And frankly, our country's problems are not getting any better with things like this. And solutions are not being found when we're sitting here punishing the base of the Republican Party.
Congressman, we really appreciate you taking the time to share your side of the story with us, and we'll certainly be following this as events warrant. Thank you very, very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Kansas Republican Congressman Tim Huelskamp represents the Sunflower State's 1st Congressional District, currently a member of the House Budget and Agriculture Committees, but since stripped of those for lack of perceived cooperation with the Republican leadership over the past 2 years. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.